If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, if you would. Ruth 1, take your outline out, if you will, this morning. Happy Mother's Day again to all of you. And if you haven't already called her or, you know, crawled on broken glass for apologies or whatever, you know, do that before the end of the day. Be sure to reach your mom or your grandmother and just love on them. I know all of you have. Last weekend was a great weekend for our family. I really wish I could have been there, but because of the birth of our second grandchild and then our third coming in July, the bride, her name is Jill, she graciously, through Michaela, my middle daughter, she said, you know what, let your dad know. I know he's got a lot of Sundays and a lot of things happening, but last Saturday, kind of an adoptive daughter to us, Jill, this beautiful girl, she's French in background, was around our house all through their teen years, and Michaela, our middle daughter, was her best friend, and so she had a wedding last Saturday that I was to perform, and she kind of graciously allowed me to pass, and so Carla went out instead and enjoyed the weekend. They also had a quick baby shower they were able to fit in, and Carla had not been together with the girls for about 18 months, all three of them together, so the Italian mom was very happy last weekend, to say the least. And so they had gotten in the car, they were leaving the airport, and of course, Bentley, I often will reference our 2.5-year-old granddaughter, the most beautiful child, bright child I've ever seen in my entire life, was sitting there in her car seat. And so the girls got in the car, and I mean, it's been 18 months, so they're just buzzing, and they're just talking, and the three, if you knew my girls, I mean, they get going, and they're just, and it's escalating, and it's getting higher and higher, and I can just picture Bentley, because she has a certain way that she does this, but she was sitting in her car seat, and she put out her hands, and she said, girls, stop, you're talking too loud and too fast. Baby Nash is asleep. Isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? My 2.5-year-old granddaughter. How many know she's going to be part of that noise? She already is, but she doesn't realize it. But give it a few years, she'll be one of them. Speaking of Italian mothers, I thought I'd bring up my administrative assistant myself here at Central Assembly, and I do this with slight permission, somewhat moderate permission this morning to share the story. But it was 2 weeks ago, it was a Thursday morning, and Carla and I were both getting ready for work, and I picked up my phone to look, and there was something I was thinking about over the next few days. I wanted to kind of check my schedule, and as I did, I saw Friday morning, which is my day off, and it's the morning, especially is when I do a lot of homework, and was planning for that day. But I looked, and I had a 9 o'clock, and it just simply said, breakfast with Olivia. And I even said it out loud. It startled me so much to where my wife, just in the restroom near me, our bathroom there in the master bedroom, said, who is Olivia? Which is a good question. And we're both wondering that right about then. And I'm saying, I don't know, honey. And she kind of let me know I better find out who Olivia is, basically. So I came in the office. I was with Pastor Don at his desk. And I said, look, this is the strangest thing. I don't know who this is. And I pull up my calendar. And I've never had this happen. I've never had Google operate quite in this way. But as I'm holding it, and there it is, I'm saying, look, it says breakfast with, and I look back, and it was there. And then poof, it was gone. And so I said, well, Don, that's really weird. So I walked out of my office, and I look at Sharon, my administrative assistant, and she has this little sheepish grin on her face. And she said, I have breakfast with my granddaughter in the morning, and I put it on your calendar instead of mine. How many of you know that saved a marriage right then? That was huge. That felt so good, so good. Well, it was a matter of just a couple days later that I walked in, and Sharon again had this sheepish grin on her face, and she said, I've got to tell you that what just happened, but she said, I have some friends of mine from our Alaska days years ago, and Mark and Sharon were missionaries there, and she said, I just simply put it down on my calendar as lunch with the gals. The problem is, I put it on both of our calendars. So I've had breakfast with Olivia and lunch with the gals in the last couple of weeks. How many know confession is good for the soul? But Sharon Faison is still the best admin in the world, and she deserves the General Counsel Medal of Achievement someday, in my estimation. But anyway, which leads me to my message this morning, and that is, if you're following along in 2015 and 2015, then we've seen a lot of women come our way in the last week. If you've been reading, it's a perfect week of reading leading to Mother's Day. We had Deborah, and I love Deborah. How many love Deborah in Scripture? If you know the story, Deborah is one of the judges. And we read through her story this past week, and what a phenomenal woman she is. And I love that moment that she's with Barak, and he is the leader of the Israeli army in that day, and he is saying to her, I am too scared to go into battle without you, Deborah. You've got to go with us. And Deborah says those famous words. She says, well, then, if you don't go alone and I have to go with you, the Lord is going to give the glory to a woman. And how many of you know men hate when that happens? But it happened. And Deborah, what an incredible judge she is. Then she goes on to sing the song of Deborah. And I love the one line in the song. She sings of what was the condition of Israel as she was a leader that she was. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. So we could have talked about Deborah. We'll hold that for another day. Then we have the woman at the well, that incredible moment with Jesus when he broke all of what were the social ethics of that day, if you will, political correctness, whatever you want to call it, the stereotypes, and he ministered to a woman that just simply needed a savior. And Jesus loved her at that well to such a degree that she left and told the whole village she lived in, I just met a man who told me everything I've ever done. You've got to come here and you've got to meet this Jesus. So we could have talked about the woman at the well. We had just before that special little lady at a wedding in Cana of Galilee that was really kind of pushy about her son, you know, kind of like Everybody Loves Raymond. How many of you have ever watched that? You know, the way, what's her name? Oh, she's wonderful. Help me with his mom. Marie. How do you forget Marie? Anyway, kind of a Marie type, but she's Mary, the mother of Jesus, so we won't go there this morning. We'll just let it be. But that could have been a story we could have looked at. But then I came back to Ruth and prayerfully felt like we've got to come back to what for me is one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, we took last summer, we took a whole month and we just looked at these four chapters in Ruth. It's a little historical book. And as you look at it today, it's heartwarming, it's heartbreaking, it's heart-wrenching at the beginning. It is full of a hero and a love story by the end, all rolled into one. It's an incredible story, not only for moms here today, but an incredible story for all the women in general here this morning. Because I think you all feel the three things sooner or later that I want us to talk about as we look at this story and as it unfolds. First one, just to get right to it, is if you ever feel disillusioned, have I ever got a story for you this morning? And life has its way of doing that to all of us here because too many things happen in life that just plain don't feel right. How often have you said to yourself or to someone, that just isn't fair, that's just not just? The story opens up with two women, and both of them had every reason in the world to feel disillusioned, but especially the older one named Naomi. Naomi basically lost everything. 10 years earlier, her husband had led them because of famine in the time of the judges, so God was bringing judgment upon Israel. So there was a famine in the land, and her husband Elimelech said, let's go 50 miles east to Moab, and there's food. And so they had gone there. They had raised their two boys there. The two boys grow up. They marry Moabite women, and then had not given her any grandchildren as of yet. And then all three of them die. Her husband dies, her first son dies, and then the other son. You talk about loss and grief. And she chooses then to go back to Bethlehem where she's from. And the Bible says that she enters the town. Everyone in the town begins to whisper. And they're looking saying, can that be her? A decade has passed. It's an illustration of what it says in Proverbs, that the condition of your heart, your spirit, many times will be seen on the countenance, your face. And so they're looking at Naomi and saying, can this be Naomi? And she says to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. That word means bitter, because the Lord Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Disillusionment at its root is to stop believing in the good of someone or something. It could be life in general. It could be your marriage. It could be relationships. It could be your work. It could be your church. It could be your country. It could be your God. It's just that sense that things have turned so against you. You can't see anything good in anything. And that is a bad place to be. It's basically a clinical form of cynicism that just overtakes you and you have trouble. It's a very bad place to be in life. And probably all of us have been there sooner or later in our lives. That especially was true of Naomi here. And her disillusionment came from her loss. Her losses, her future looking so bleak as a widow in that day, very difficult, no one to care for her, the deep emotional pain that she had. And in those words, they say it all, the Almighty has brought calamity upon me. It is a terrible place to not only be disillusioned, but when you're disillusioned with God. And a lot of people find themselves there because God gets blamed for a lot of things in life. That's what I love about this story, because it's very earthy. It's very human. It puts flesh on where all of us at one time or another may feel. Who can't identify with Naomi? But then again, who can't rejoice with her when we get to chapter 4? But I can't get there yet because I have to speak the whole sermon. But we're going to get there in a moment. Two keys, though, that will help us when we feel disillusioned today as we look at the book of Ruth. First one is to find a friend. Find a friend. And that's what happened here. Naomi tries to keep her two daughter-in-laws from following her back to Bethlehem. And so there's this moment of crossroad experience where they stand there, and she says to her and to Orpah and to Ruth, you two go back to your homeland. Go back to your people. I can't bear two more children, have them be raised and become my daughters-in-law then again through them. So you go back. You'll have a much better chance of remarrying and being taken care of. Go back to your homeland, and then we find those incredible words of Ruth. And they speak commitment and covenant in a way that is so powerful. Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. See, if you are feeling disillusioned, one of the great answers for you is to find a friend. And if you don't have a friend, then be a friend to someone. Because that's so often how we find friends. Many times we find friends that are looking for a friend. We meet the need in another person's life that actually we have in our own lives. And so as you be a friend, you'll end up finding a friend. And a kinship, the way that Naomi develops here with Ruth, is such an incredible grace and blessing from heaven. But every woman needs that. And if you have a great friendship right now in your life or friends, I encourage you to cultivate it and to invest in it, because friends will be there at your weakest and darkest hours. We all need friends. The Bible talks a lot about friends. Well, Naomi found a friend in Ruth. So if you're disillusioned, find a friend. Secondly, if you're disillusioned, just be honest about it. Now, you don't have to get on KY3 news, you know, and announce it to all the Ozarks, but with yourself and with God and with others, just be honest where you're at, that you're not at a good place. God already knows that. Your friends know that. Those that are closest to you, they'll know it when you're disillusioned. Many times you'll show it right here on your face, the way Naomi did. But it's good to express it. In a class that I'm preparing for the first week of June now, in all the pre-reading, there's one part of the pre-reading that I just thought, I'm not going to enjoy this at all. And it's from a woman near Atlanta, Georgia, and she is writing a blog, and so it's not real lengthy, but there are multiple writings that we had to read and then reflect on and write about. And this woman lost her 4-year-old daughter to a car accident with a teenage boy that was high on pot. And so it just, the grieving is just intense. She waited 4 more years before she wrote her first words. So it'll be 8 years then since that loss, losing a 4-year-old daughter. And she started writing then in those 4 years later, but then God had already blessed her by that point with twin daughters and with another daughter. So she already has 3 girls, but still, there's something in her, and she writes these words. You may never read these words, but I had to write them. The reason is that, of course, she's wanting to help others naturally, but there's something therapeutic in her, that she's being honest about her emotions and her feelings. And so many of the blogs fall on a certain day. It's a birthday. It's a certain day, a day she remembers of this, a day she remembers of that. And it's so therapeutic for her soul to be writing this. And I ended up finding it to be some of the most enjoyable reading of all the pre-reading, because it was so real and raw and authentic of what it is in life to feel disillusionment. And yet it was good for her and healing. Find a friend and be honest about it if you're disillusioned today. Second today, ladies, if you feel overworked, have I got a story for you. And moms, especially today, we know there are times that you feel absolutely worn. You're tired of cleaning laundry, meals, disciplining the mud on a freshly cleaned floor. For many of you, it's your job outside the home as well as your job within the home. It can just be absolutely overwhelming. You probably have read this before, but let me give you the job description of a mother. Long-term, team players needed for challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. Travel expenses not reimbursed. Extensive courier duties also required. Responsibilities the rest of your life. Must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs $20. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. Also must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds flat in case this time the screams from the backyard are not someone just crying wolf. Must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. Must keep close watch on all computer devices, maintain calendars, and coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have the ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an absolute embarrassment the next. I love that line. Must handle assembly and product safety testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys and battery-operated devices. Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end product. Responsibilities also include floor maintenance and janitorial work throughout the facility. Possibility of advancement or promotion? Virtually none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience? None required, unfortunately. But on-the-job training offered on a continually exhausting basis. Wages and compensation. You pay them. Offering frequent raises and bonuses. A balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, you give them whatever you have left. And the oddest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you actually enjoy it and you wish you could do more. Benefits. While no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, and no stock options are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life if you play your cards right. And there you have it, moms. One of the great lessons from Naomi's situation comes not from Naomi, but from this Moabitess by the name of Ruth. Chapter 1 closes with these words, "The barley harvest had just begun." And the next two chapters, while you and I are watching an amazing plot thicken, and you're watching God, all of a sudden, if you're reading, you realize, wait, God is doing something here. And you see the hand of God. As all of that's weaving through chapters 2 and 3, follow me, the main part of the story, the heart of it, is found in the fields outside of Bethlehem. It's the work of Ruth. She is tireless. She is committed. She will do anything she can do to earn a living and to bring it back to Naomi. The concern of any widow or two widows in that day, just to put food on the table. But her work pays off because of her faithfulness and her humility and even her obedience. All of these virtues that God loves and writes about in His Word, Ruth fulfills all of them in such a beautiful way. Matter of fact, let me just read to you just a portion of what we call a Proverbs 31 woman so often. It's actually the virtues of a godly woman. It doesn't have to be a mother. It can be a wife. It can be someone who's unmarried, that's single, but works hard. But here's how it describes a Proverbs 31. And this is the end of the book of wisdom, a matter of fact. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Walmart. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. I love that. There's business women in the Old Testament. There you have it. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She's very diligent. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the city gates. Mothers, ladies here today, your work is not in vain. Two things I think in this story that help you keep that in mind. First of all is this, let it be fulfilling. Let your work be fulfilling, whatever the work is, inside the home, outside the home, whatever it is today. Ruth's work ethic is immediately seen, and as we move into the end of chapter 2, she has worked the entire barley and wheat harvest. And what a moment it is, the very first day she comes home, she beats that barley that she's worked, and she comes up with 25 pounds of produce. And Naomi's amazed, and obviously says, God is doing something here, because this is just incredible. And you sense not only the joy in Naomi, but you sense that satisfaction in Ruth that she is meeting the needs of her and her mother-in-law. Talk to anyone who's been unemployed for any time, length of time in their life, and you'll realize what a challenging time that is. You talk to someone or watch someone that has the ability to work but doesn't work and would rather live on what the state will dole out to them, you'll see a lack of dignity, a lack of character. You'll see one that lacks so many of the virtues that Ruth had here. Because one thing we see in Scripture is that work is sacred. So moms, today I want to encourage you to not only let it be fulfilling, but to know that your work is sacred today. Whether you're working in home, whether you're working outside the home, in both places, work itself is a sacred grace. The Scripture extols hard work. And in no time, Ruth's work ethic is noted by this man by the name of Boaz, the owner of the field. And think with me today, had she been a lagger, would she have ever met Boaz? Had Ruth gone into that first day or two and about halfway through the day just said, this is too hard a work to glean behind these workers because they're taking all the harvest and here we are just picking up the scraps here and there. Had she said, I can't do this kind of work, would she have ever met a man named Boaz? But Ruth went for it, and Boaz, the owner, took notice. Years ago, I stood in the home, what was the home, of Susanna Wesley there in Epworth, England. Maybe some of you have been there. I remember standing there in the kitchen. I just remember like it's yesterday, and I was reading some of her writings on the wall that they have there. And I remember looking around and picturing that kitchen and picturing the old ways that they would have in the 1800s, how they would have cooked, and all the work that it took. The woman had 19 children. How many know that's a heap of a lot of kids right there, okay? 19 children. And I remember going and standing there in the bedroom as they gave us the tour, and there's a depiction there of the story, the old house that had burned to the ground, two-story house, and how one of the sons named Jonathan was taken, and someone from upstairs saved him, and they threw him, and he fell into the arms of someone, and they saved him out of that fire, and she called him a brand plucked from the fire, quoting Scripture. She was noted for being a tireless worker. She battled physical illness. Her husband squandered a lot of their money often. She lost 9 children during her lifetime. One of them was smothered by her own nurse who had partied all night long hard, came home in a drunken stupor, rolled over on top of the baby, and the baby died. Her husband was thrown from a horse and never recovered physically. You talk about disillusionment, and you talk about hard work. And what was she most noted for? Her legacy was what she left her children spiritually. That Susanna Wesley was committed on a daily, on a religious basis. She wanted to plant the Word of God in the hearts of her kids. And 2 of those surviving 10 children became John and Charles Wesley, who made an incredible mark in church history. How fulfilling and how sacred the work that Susanna Wesley did. I realize today so often, it's true of men, it's true of women alike. But for ladies here, especially today, I know there are times that you just say, am I doing anything? Am I accomplishing anything? If anything, many times you think you're going backwards more than you're going forwards with your kids. Carl and I know what that's like. And honestly, truthfully, we talk about it very often now, that the fruit of that labor of our raising of our three girls to this point, we are so thankful. Because just that they love us is a miracle. How many know what I'm talking about? But they love us and they love the Lord. And you may be here and it may be a little different play. It's played out a little differently for you. But I'm telling you, your work is not in vain, because the Word of God says it's not in vain. It might be your greatest work right now is prayer. Say, oh, but I did so much sowing. That's right. Now it's time to reap. But you pray and believe for that. They that sow in tears, they're going to reap a joy in the morning, the Bible says. So continue to work. It's sacred to God. Third thing, ladies, is this. If you feel ordinary today, have I got a story for you? Because you can't get any more ordinary than Naomi. Naomi is from Bethlehem. She went over to Moab for 10 years, raised two kids. The Moabites were descendants of Lot. If you remember the story, it's not a pretty one. Lot and his wife, remember, they had fled Sodom. His wife turned back, turned to a pillar of salt when she looked back, disobeying God. Lot had two daughters, and they plotted with each other to say, our name is going to end right here. And so it was an incestuous relationship that gave us then Lot's lineage, which became the Moabites. They were pagans. They were heathens. They worshiped the god of Chemosh in that day, arch enemies of Israel. So that's where we find Naomi. You talk about ordinary. And that's where Ruth is from. You talk about ordinary, but in the midst of it all, there's an extraordinary God. And I love the way it's put in the story, and it's so often noted. The ESV puts it this way. Ruth happened to come to the part of the field. NIV says, as it turned out, Ruth found herself working in a field. The King James says, her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, there are farmers all around Bethlehem. Fields everywhere in that day. And that agrarian society and culture, she could have landed on any field. That's why the Bible just kind of hints there that there's something happening here, that Ruth and Naomi and even us as the reader, we don't know what it is, but it helps draw you in a little bit more to read a little bit further. Two keys from Ruth to help you if you feel too ordinary today. The first one is this: stick to faithfulness. Stick to faithfulness. Because that's really what you're called to do more than anything else. And we so often think, oh, but there's something more that I want to do. But listen, if you just be faithful to what God has called you to do or what he's placed in your hands, whatever it is, just stick to being faithful. This man Boaz just happened to be the fulfillment of the law of Moses for Naomi. She just didn't know where this was all coming from. He's called in the Bible a kinsman redeemer. And what that meant would be that if a woman would lose her husband and not have any sons, then she would be in a horrible plight in Israel in that day. And how was she going to eke out a living? It would be a terrible position to be. But if there would be a relative that would be close to her, that would take not only the opportunity, but the privilege to say, I will take her to be my own. I will provide for her and care for her. And it just so happened, of all the fields around Bethlehem, that Ruth lights upon and works in diligence through the barley and the wheat harvest that happened to be a kinsman redeemer to Naomi. And Ruth's faithfulness led her not only to her own rescue, but then to the rescue of her mother-in-law, just what she wanted. The reason, though, was so far greater than either Ruth or Naomi could even imagine. Even much greater, even the Boaz, in his gracious spirit, says, I will take care of you, Naomi, and I'll take Ruth to be my wife, this Moabitess. See, the lessons in Ruth are endless. But one of them for sure is this. In your lowest of times, you may feel disillusioned about everything. There is nothing good in my life. Turn to God and hold to your faith. Another lesson is sometimes you feel so overtasked and so overworked, you can be confident that if you just be faithful to work, God will bless the work of your hands. But also that God uses the very ordinary to do the extraordinary. And you've heard me make that statement many times. But it's all he's really looking for is just a willing heart and a faithful heart, an unassuming heart with him. Many times an unaware heart like Ruth and Naomi. So stick to faithfulness. Second, expect the supernatural. Now follow me. Naomi, I don't sense any expectation in chapters 1 into chapters 2. But all of a sudden, we get into about chapter 3, and how many know what I'm talking about? Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match, right? I mean, she starts seeing, hey, God's up to something here. And so she says, hey, Ruth, put some perfume on and cleanse yourself and take a bath, get all ready to go. And she sends her to Boaz. And Boaz has worked that day with his men in the field, and he's lied down. And many of you know the story. I can't go into all of it. And it's kind of creepy anyway. It's really unique for our culture. But if you read it from not an American viewpoint, a Middle Eastern viewpoint in that day, you understand everything was very kosher, pardon the term, but everything was just fine for what happened. And Ruth goes and obeys, and Naomi, it's a miracle what takes place. But you know what? She wasn't expecting the supernatural in chapter 1. I want to challenge you to expect the supernatural in your chapter 1. That no matter what you're going through, how difficult life is, how you may just be struggling inside, hold your faith. That is the essence of faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we can't even see. It's supernatural. That's why faith honors God and blesses God. And guess what? Those who come to him in faith, that believe in him, that he exists, he rewards those who diligently seek him, those are the ones that please him. So many times we don't know what God is doing behind the scenes. So stick to it. Be faithful, but also expect the supernatural. Mothers, hear me today. Do you really think that Susanna Wesley could have looked beyond those 10 children and beyond the 19 that she gave birth to and in any way imagine that one of them would become John Wesley, a great theologian, a wonderful leader of a whole church movement that would sweep the world? Do you honestly think that she had in her mind, thought, I'm going to raise up Charles here because he's going to write over 6,000 hymns? 6,000. Turn to your neighbor and go, wow, that's a lot of songwriting. How about it, though? Think about it. One of my favorites. We so seldom sing it. Oh, it's a good one. And can it be that I should gain? Beautiful. How about Christ the Lord is risen today? Ha, 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 hallelujah. I mean, remember that one, right? Come thou long, expected Jesus. Hark the herald angels sing. Jimmy Stewart even sang that song. It's a classic. But Susanna was faithful. And look how God honored her faithfulness. Do you think Naomi and Ruth could ever have imagined the end of their story? No. There's no way they could picture chapter 4. She's broken. She's bitter. She's disillusioned. And we find in chapter 4, here is Naomi, a grandmother. By the way, grandmothers are very special people. They're more dear to my heart now than they were 2.5 years ago. I don't know why. Just something about grandma. And you want to watch this lady light up is a weekend like last weekend with all three of her girls and with the one granddaughter and now a grandson. Praise God. Another granddaughter on the way. But there sits Naomi. And she's a bouncing baby boy on her lap. And the women are all gathered, the same women that were going, is this her? Look how bad she looks. Now they're looking at her, and they're saying, God has blessed you. And they're speaking blessing upon this child. And they don't even know. No one knows what really is happening here. But it's like a fairy tale ending. They named the child Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And I would add an article there, the father of the David. Incredible. That's why we have the book in the Bible. It's not just a story tale. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not just something to kind of encourage you and kind of bridge some things for us. No. We are reading here how we get the lineage of King David through a Moabitess and a woman who was broken, and how we get the lineage then, as we read later, of Jesus Christ. So we open up the New Testament and we read that in that list of those who Jesus came to earth through, one of them is Ruth from Moab, where they worshiped the god Chemosh, which was a horrible form, a deity that just terrible form of idolatry, sacrificing their children to the fire. God plucks someone like Ruth and plucks a broken woman like Naomi, and it's through them that we have King David, and it's through King David that we have Jesus, and it's through Jesus that all of us here have an opportunity to know God, if that's not incredible. If you feel ordinary today, I just encourage you to exercise your faith in God. If you are just disillusioned today with life, can I encourage you to find a friend and just to hang in there and to keep believing in the good? See, all of this, all three of these points, they anchor around having faith in God. I know someone right now that you talk about the string on the end of a rope. That's where they're at. And I keep praying, as I have now for almost 4 years, God, I pray that that string will bring them back up to the rope and they'll be able to climb back up. And you may feel that you're that way today. Hear me. Honestly, a government program is not your answer. And truthfully, even the church locally is not your answer in the sense of this. God is your answer. Jesus is your answer. And really, the book of Ruth is like a little, it's just like a little, you know, micro, if you will, of the entire Bible. It's like just looking at Genesis to Revelation in a nutshell, because it begins with utter lostness, utter depravity, if you will. We're in Moab. We're so far from God. And it ends with God providing a Savior who saves the key characters of the story. That's the Bible. That's God's word. Would you bow your heads with me today and close your eyes if you would? And just for a moment, if I could invite you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, to evaluate your heart. And already maybe you've been there, but today, where right now you say, Jeff, I feel so disillusioned. I met with a man this week that feels that way. Where is the good in my life? That is such a hard place to be in. And if you're there today, all I can tell you is to please hang on to God. Please don't let him go. Trust in God. But Jeff, you don't know my circumstances. You're probably right, I don't know them, but God does. And I'm telling you, hang to him, hold your faith, don't give up. You may be here today and you are so tired, you're weary. You say, I can't put in another day, whatever it might be in your life, and it may be circumstances. Can I just encourage you, hang on to God. Hang on, be faithful, just stick to it, keep going. You may be here today and you just say, I feel so ordinary that sometimes life's just a bummer. I wish that God had a higher purpose. Listen, friend, you have no idea what that next generation brings. Called my mother, as I do on every Sunday morning, my mom and dad, often have them pray for me to start the day out. They're 2 hours behind us, so they're just getting up. And this morning, that's what my mom mentioned. She said, the joy of now being a great grandparent is, Jeff, will you just watch the generations unfold and you see God's hand at work. And for you today, you may feel right now, I'm just so ordinary. Listen, you have no idea what God's going to do, but you've got to be faithful. You've got to hang in there. Just do what God's called you to do and trust him and believe him. And believe me, if you are a child of God today, you are not ordinary. God will use you. Generations to come, he'll use you today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, is there anyone here today that you realize in the story of Ruth, here's the picture where we begin lost, and we end up found by God. Maybe you're here today and you say, Jeff, that's me. I'm not following God. I know there's sin in my life. You may be a church person. You may have been church. Or maybe on a Mother's Day, you happen to come today because you want to be able to go on the phone and say, Mom, I went to church. Or you're here today with your mom or your grandmother for whatever reason, but you're here today. Maybe you've been here a million times, but today, right now, you realize that it's like I'm in Moab and I need to go meet Jesus from Bethlehem. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus today. Put your faith and trust in him. Only he can save you. The picture of Boaz is so beautiful. The kinsman redeemer, in that he's the one who sacrifices so that they can be brought into the family and taken care of. That's what Jesus did at the cross. He died, offered his whole life, everything he could. He gave his blood, sacrificed for your sins and mine today, everyone in the world. And the key is that we turn to him in faith. Is there anyone in this second service today that right now you say, Jeff, I want to open my heart to Jesus Christ. I know that I've sinned. I need forgiveness of my sin, and I want to ask him to come into my life today. Is there anyone? You just put up your hand real quick and put it down. Just let me see it and then put it down. Anyone? Just quickly. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? You can put it down. Anyone else today? You just put up that hand. Just let me see it. But you say, I need to ask God's forgiveness in my life. Anyone else today on this Mother's Day? Anyone else? You put up that hand. Anyone else? I give you just a moment. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. early service, there were four men on Mother's Day that raised their hand. It was awesome. Here, three, four hands have been raised. Anyone else between you and God today, but you say, that's me. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Anyone else, you put up that hand. We're going to pray in just a moment. Amen. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward again, if they would right now. Pastors, if there's not enough, if you would come and just place across the front here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else right now, even if you didn't raise your hand a moment ago, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. This is between you and God. But we as a church family have the privilege and the joy of praying with you now, welcoming you into God's family. You may be one that's roamed away for a long time. Now you're coming home. Or this may be so clean and so fresh for you, first time in your life. You're making the best decision you've ever made. And you feel God tugging at your heart. Isn't it incredible how good God is to us? And he has provided us the Savior. We sang earlier, hallelujah, what a Savior in Jesus today. Can we pray this prayer together? Oh God, I know that I've sinned. I don't blame anybody else. I acknowledge my sin. And I don't have all the answers, but I trust your Bible. What it says about Jesus, that he came to this earth to redeem me, to purchase me, to save me, when he went to the cross and died for my sins. I believe in him, and I ask you now to forgive me of all of my sins, to cleanse my heart, change my life. May I leave here different because of you, Jesus. I trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, would you stand with me this morning, if you would? And as I pray a closing prayer today, I want to pray over these three areas. And I want to invite, doesn't have to be a mom today, it could be a mother, could be a man here today, could be a young person, but you are feeling right now disillusioned, you are feeling overworked, overwhelmed, or you just feel so ordinary, you say, does God really know where I'm at? I'm going to invite you to come forward and let one of these prayer team members just pray for you. This is their ministry. They love to pray with people. If you just raise your hand, you're one of those three or four, I urge you today that as I pray, go ahead and slip out from where you're at and come down. Even if you're up in the balcony, just come down and pray with someone here. It's so important for you to cement that commitment that you've made to the Lord this morning. And they'd love to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you thankful for the book of Ruth? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you that you love women. Lord, I thank you that from the very beginning of your book, all the way to the end, we see women play such a key role. And Lord, I lift up right now any that are here that feel disillusioned and burdened. They're weary, they're tired, they're overworked. Men, women, boys, girls, whatever the age, God, I pray, Lord, that you will be their strength today. May we turn to you, God, even when we can't see a step ahead of ourselves. May we just take that step in faith and believe in you, Lord. And I pray that you will intervene and show yourself strong for those that see no good in anything right now. And show yourself strong to those that feel so weary and tired and overworked. And show yourself strong to those who feel ordinary, so extremely ordinary that they wonder if there's any purpose in their life whatsoever. God, you give us purpose. And Lord, often and you are orchestrating things the way we see for Ruth and Naomi. What a miracle. But God, you want to do that for each one today. And so I pray over these, Lord, that raised their hand and prayed a prayer to ask you into their lives and their hearts. Oh God, cement that work within them, I pray, Jesus. And for others today, Lord, whatever their circumstances may be, Lord, we just pray today that you would touch their hearts and their lives and give them strength, Lord. And again, on this Mother's Day weekend, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and the faithfulness, Lord, of many men, but also the women in this church, God, that love you and serve you. God, I just pray that you would bless them. May they have a wonderful Mother's Day. Be with them today, Lord, throughout all of this day. May we serve you and keep our faith in you. In Jesus' name. And And everyone said amen this morning. Amen. God bless you as you go today. We will see.